everyone. Welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. It is good to be with you. We do apologize for the little bit of a break there. I took my car in last week Monday to get it fixed, and I got it back this week Tuesday officially. So a little difficult to record, but it's good to be back, Dan. How's the lead up to Easter going for you?
Yeah, it's always one of those, and this year too, it's like, oh, it's coming. You know, that's just a couple weeks away, probably because our weather's been kind of wild and we've just been cold again now. Right. It feels like Easter can't be that close, but it is just a few weeks out. But I've been enjoying this season of Lent and our sermon series too, just a fitting one as we've been talking about the wilderness and that. Yeah. So I always look forward to this time of year.
Yeah. And, you know, this like weird, gray, cold, benign spring is very much a wilderness of its own.
Yeah.
So
we get fitting weather.
Very fitting. So today we're going to talk a little bit about both weeks because, again, we missed a week. Dan, why don't you start us off? What did we talk about the last 2 weeks?
Yeah. So we're continuing in Matthew 4. The series where we're talking about the wilderness, a good theme for Lent, journeying through life. Well, Jesus has gone before us. In Matthew 4, the opening 11 verses are a picture of him in the wilderness, led by the Spirit there, and he gets tested by God, tempted by the devil. And we've been talking about the temptations the enemy throws at him the last couple of weeks. So the last 2 weeks were temptation number 2 and number 3 in Matthew's order, because Luke orders them a little different. But in Matthew's order, temptation 2 is Jesus gets taken to kind of the pinnacle of the temple. The devil quotes scripture at him and says, why don't you jump off? Because scripture says that, you know, God will protect you. And so, as we said, attacking a strength there, because Jesus has just said, you know, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then temptation 3, he takes him higher yet to kind of a mountain peak, looking over the world, as it were, and says, you know, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. You see all their splendor. Maybe underneath that, what we said is, this is what you came for anyways, right? I'll give it to you all now if you just would bow down and worship me. And obviously a clear violation that would be of you know, worshiping the Lord only. But we talked about how the enemy there attacking Jesus where his mission, his passion is. This is what he has come to do, to restore and to redeem, to save the lost. And I'll give you the shortcut. And we talked about, really, with all the temptations, a lot of times they involve a quick way, a shortcut, not the way of the cross. Here it is right here, just like, a little bite.
It's about being efficient to the point we lose why we're doing it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it can lose focus. Like we said, obviously there's bad desires. I can just be off in what I'm wanting and going after. But there's good missions and good things that can just get misplaced.
Yeah.
So we talked about that. We'll continue today talking about it too.
100% will. So on our second temptation, talking about how, you know, the devil will often attack us on our strengths and how that can be dangerous because we think we're pretty good. We don't need to think about it. And we talked specifically about how we're paying a lack of attention to it, or we're overemphasizing our strengths, or we're over-trusting in those strengths to cover up for things. I want to hit on two of those. First, on the lack of attention point. How do you find a balance between acknowledging this is what I'm good at? This is a strength. This is a blessing. I'm good at this. I've got this down. This is a habit, versus boasting. Mm. Because, again, it's important that we know, yeah, this is a good thing. And we acknowledge that. But also we don't want to be like, and it's a good thing, and I am good because of it.
Right. I think I know what you're getting at there of, you know, we should pay some attention to these things in regards that God's gifted us this way. Mm-hmm. But how do you not, you know, I guess it ties in a little with the overemphasis of where I'm holding it up in a way where I'm really, you know, patting myself on the back all the time. And because some of the danger here is that, you know, oh, yeah, the boasting can come in like, I'm so good at that. I don't even need to work on it. Mm-hmm. I don't even need to pay attention there, right? And maybe there's some arrogance. You're letting people know that too.
Yeah.
And that could be damaging, of course, in even how we use our gifts. Mm-hmm. But also could leave us susceptible because I often think about it in ping pong, right? You know, you have your forehand, your backhand, and ping pong. One of my good friends was left-handed. Mm-hmm. So we played a lot. We just play goofing around. Well, he's hitting his left-hand forehand into my backhand. I worked on that all the time. And it'd be like, oh, I don't even need to pay attention. And then you guess what happens? You start worrying about the other side, and then all of a sudden you're off with that one, and you're getting attacked there. And So yeah, just even from that sports analogy or other ways, we talked about a military example in the sermon. But yeah, not paying any attention there isn't good. And if I start being overconfident, that's dangerous too. One, for the people I want to work with in the church to build up the church. But two, because the enemy says, well, if I bring you down there, I can have this whole thing crumble. Because if I'm, you know, confident in myself in this, and suddenly that's not there, like, oh, I've always done well speaking. I've always done well teaching others. But then suddenly that's blown up in whatever way that happens. The enemy tries to. Well, then what do I got?
Right.
And suddenly my whole confidence, you know, my faith, he can really bring us down. And other, we're susceptible in other ways then too. And so I think you're right. I mean, that kind of boasting or that, leaning too much on our own strengths is there. Can also be kind of a lack of attention.
Yeah.
We need to look at those things and keep an eye out.
Mm-hmm. Then over to another part of that overemphasis portion. When we're super convicted about something biblically, it can become very easy to think about someone like, hey, if you were really as dedicated to the faith as you thought you were, then you would believe this, or you would understand it this way, or this interpretation would be super clear.
Right.
It's like, how can you not get this? Do you really, you know, and then that overemphasizing our story, it's like, I know so much about the Bible. How can you not get it? Mm-hmm. And I think this is something we all do mm-hmm. from time to time, especially the more time you spend thinking about theology, thinking about the faith. But that's obviously, that is one of the sins and the temptations the devil's trying to
right.
get at us, because that's a pride thing. So how do we make sure we're not overemphasizing our intellectual, theological strengths, but also remain standing firm because we are convicted about this? How do we handle that balance?
Yeah, the way we talked about it is, you know, we're all made a certain way. We do have certain gifts, strengths, abilities, certain things that even parts of our lives spiritually where we really connect with the Lord in our personal relationship. And so naturally, we emphasize those things. They've been important to us. The danger is we start to think they should be important to everybody in the way it is to me. And that balance of, because it is important, right? So I used the example in the sermon of, you know, missions or evangelism, clearly called for,
right?
Clearly a part of who we are as Christians, as part of the church. But there's people who are stronger in that area. They're good at witnessing. They see the need for that. They're out there doing it. And the overemphasis comes when we start talking down to people who maybe we don't see pursuing that in the same way as we do, or it seems like they're not seeing as important, where maybe they're just leaning into their gifts. And we start criticizing, saying, you're not as good of a Christian if, or Austin's example is kind of like, I maybe really emphasize this particular doctrine, right? Maybe say the sacraments are very important to me and I see the meaning. And well, this is there in scripture. We should talk about these things. They're an important part of the life of the church. But again, I can, if I'm not careful, the enemy will use that to split me, certainly from the people around me, because I start talking bad, or you're this for not seeing it this way, negatively. And also my relationship with the Lord becomes split because I start really minimizing the way he can relate to us as people only through this channel. And that's, of course, limiting the way that God speaks to us, and he's created us in a variety of ways. I often think of this, too, and we talk about spiritual pathways. I think we've talked about that before on this podcast. And just the idea there is there's ways that we're all made where the Lord really shows up in our lives. Maybe for Austin, it's worship. And, you know, boy, if I'm at worship on a Sunday, or if I'm in my car and I got worship music playing, yeah, I feel the Lord's closer. Maybe for me, it's creation. When I'm out in nature and, oh, man, the Lord's presence just... And so, again, I might think, well, I can't understand why you don't get this. Like, just go outside, Austin, and, you know, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you talking about creation more? And you're sitting there thinking, like, why aren't you more enthused about music or worship? And, again, we can overemphasize these things that are strong for us, gifts for us, important for us. And I think to Austin's question is, we do need to uphold these things. We're all needed, right? This is why the church is so important, because
one body, many parts.
Right. To de-emphasize the sacraments or worship or seeing God in creation or missions, evangelism or service or fill in the
day,
blank.
Yeah.
Prayer would be to do a disservice to the church as a whole. We need clearly all these things. We find them in scripture. We see them in the life of God's people. But it's just that holding it in balance, Those words we find often, especially in the New Testament letters, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but do lean into the gifts you've been given.
Yeah.
And so it's not to overemphasize, it's just to do your part and to understand and believe that others are doing that. Yeah, if there's, clearly if we're getting off in our doctrine or we're, you know, saying, someone is saying like, no, I don't think we need to do missions. Well, that could be a time, and I'd stand up on these things and say, no, this is clear. I see that. But otherwise, it's just trying to hold together as the church. And that, as we're thinking about being tempted and attacked by the evil one, we're stronger together. Now, of course, in the Lord's strength, but as we stand, often we use the picture of the Roman kind of legion when they put their shields, you know, one in front and then one on top.
Yeah.
Right. And like, what's getting through there? That's the picture of strength in numbers and strength in the church. And that happens as we're all using our gifts, not overemphasizing one or the other, but, you know, filling those roles so we're building the body. So yeah, it's a great, great question there of how that, yeah, the enemy would try to undermine that, and then how we can lean into what we have and the passions we have and the gifts we have while not making it seem like, well, what I have is the be-all, end-all.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and today's theme really does seem to be balancing good things with how they can be a challenge. Because on the third question then here I've got, we were talking, you know, this last week about how we can be tempted to put our missions or passions as more important than the Lord himself. And that obviously isn't like I'm going to say that this ministry that I'm involved in is more important than God, because we're not going to do that.
Right.
But, you know, we were kind of chatting earlier, and often it can be so much more easy to put all of our attention and our focus and passion in these ministries, in these causes, in these issues that we're really passionate about. Because first off, we see very clear, like, biblically care about this. So that's there. And it can be hard sometimes when we don't ever see God. Like, I can call up Dan and I can talk to him on the phone. I can't, obviously, you know, I can pray and I know that the Spirit is there, but I'm not interacting with the Spirit, with Jesus, the same way as I could have when he was incarnate on earth before the, you know, like the, during like 2000 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it can be really easy to say, well, you know, since I can't interact with Jesus in this way, I'm going to put my energy and focus in this thing that he cares about. Mm-hmm. And it can be very easy then for us to end up very softly, subtly putting this thing, this ministry, this cause, this really what have you, this good thing ends up being more what we focus on instead of the person who caused us in the first place to care about that.
Yeah.
So how do we balance that? Because that seems to be almost one of the more insidious ones.
Yeah.
Because it's something that is very good.
Right. You're not looking for that, thinking about temptation maybe in that.
Yeah.
Austin, I think you put it really well, the danger here that, you know, instead of like focusing on my relationship with the Lord, I think I'm getting my relationship to the Lord through this mission, through this passion, which you're basically describing idolatry, right?
Like, yeah.
This is replacing that. You know, that, I mean, it's, think about, we talked about it, Exodus 32.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of wild up there. And we haven't seen Moses in a while. Just give us something that's, let's have it be through this, the golden calf. And the interesting thing is they're still saying, this is the Lord. They're even using that name there. So it's not like they're saying, this is Baal or
right,
some other god. No, this is him. Like, he's the one who brought us out of Egypt, but we just want a little more comfortable representation.
Something I can actually interact with.
Yes. And in control.
Yeah. There's that too.
a little more manageable. And then, so that's, yeah, you can have these missions. And I was thinking too, and of course, there's lots of reasons. I understand it's more complex. But we've had in the last several years, sadly, like several Christian leaders, pastors, other ministry leaders of large ministries who have had falls. And I wonder how much of that isn't connected to this temptation where you start like, yeah, I am in charge of this large church, right? And that becomes everything. And there's tons of good coming from that. And it's a good desire. I have this ministry. Maybe it's a radio ministry or podcast ministry or, you know, print ministry. And you're pouring so much that becomes the focus. That becomes, and shortly it's like, I'll do anything to do that. Or because of what I'm doing here, I'm owed this. And then you're setting the parameters for how you relate to God through this thing.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, dangerous. And, you know, we see the fall when it's gotten pretty far down the line, usually. But that's the temptation for Jesus here. Again, here's this good mission. You've come to do this. And it just sounds so good. Like, oh, why not just have it right now? Mm-hmm. Just bow down. And we said it even in the text, like just once. Mm-hmm. Just while I was, you know, like, almost kind of like nobody has to know.
Yep.
And that's how the enemy trips us up and tried to give some examples of how we can get in danger there of like, oh, yeah, well, we need somebody to finance this. Well, let's go over here. Is that really right to do that? Or are these the people we want to associate? Well, but this is the
right,
in a sense. It's becoming so important for us. So that idolizing of our missions, which I think is really what you were getting at, is the danger there. And, you know, and that to counteract that, I think we really need to be intentional because you're right. I mean, not that clearly the disciples, even walking with Jesus there, were getting off track.
You're right.
Or getting, start thinking about other things and things they had in mind. But we have to be intentional about our relationship with the Lord. And maybe especially when we are involved in something that is a passion and we see that going well and we're heavily involved, invested in it, we need to make sure that that isn't the sole way that we are seeing our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I'll just give my own personal example, right? Obviously, every week or most weeks, I'm preparing to preach sermons, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm in the Word there. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting. Right. But it's a particular thing. You know, it's an output of the ministry I have and the call I have and work here at Friendship. I need personal time with the Lord. It can't be all for that output of the ministry and performing on Sunday, so to speak, and, you know, having people hear the Word that way, which is all good, mm-hmm. right? I need to put energy and focus into that, but it's going to go awry if I'm not taking time personally, intentionally, to say I need to relate to the Lord so I can hear what He's saying to me in my life and how I need to be thinking about things and how I can maybe be getting off track. And patting myself on the back or overemphasizing my gifts or whatever. So I think for all of you listening too, for us as well, that intentional piece of being in the Lord's Word, being in prayer, looking for His presence and leading for no other reason than for personally needing to connect with Him that way. And then taking that and what He's speaking into all these other passions, the ministries maybe you're involved with and leading. You know, if you're a leader of one of our ministries here at Friendship, or you have another thing you're pouring into, it might be in our school communities or other ways. If we're not in a good place in our relationship with the Lord, if our love for Him is not coming first, the other things are going to get out of track and off whack. They're going to start pointing. Really, it always points to the direction I want them to point in. Yeah, it might go well for a while. There's the instant gratification, maybe the instant glory, maybe for a moment if Jesus had succumbed. And wow, you know, He's got those things, but quickly we're at all the time. So I think that's the main counteraction. And we've talked a lot about what does that look like? How do we do that? I mean, Jesus, in a way, is responding to the enemy's temptation, but I think also reminding Himself in the face of that temptation, no, I need to worship the Lord and serve Him only. That's what this is about. That's what it comes down to. He's the leader here. I need to follow His lead, not my own, not what I think's best. So, yeah, I hope that gets into the question you're asking.
100%. That's exactly it. What are we talking about next week?
Yeah, so interesting here, a little different. We just have one verse we're going to think about next week. It's the very last verse of this section. We read it this week because it connected with that last temptation, but it's Matthew 4:11, where we're told the enemy, you know, the devil leaves Jesus, and then the angels come and attend Him, or a wait table on Him is really, it's the word diakonos there, serve Him. And just want to talk especially about that second part of the angels ministering there to Jesus and how that speaks again to who Jesus is, how that is interesting. That was some of the things the enemy was tempting Him for that Jesus didn't give into. Now He receives as He's shown that faithfulness. So what does that look like for us in our lives? How do we see God, you know, serving and ministering us in that way? And then maybe also a connection of how we now also in Jesus can be serving our master as well in our lives and in the church too. So some interesting connections there, but thinking about God's protection, His provision for us as we make our journeys through the wilderness, as He's provided for Jesus, as we walk faithfully, He's going to do that for us too.
Good. Well, that's so much to look forward to. Thanks, Dan, for coming by. Thanks for being willing to touch on three Sundays, technically. Thanks to all of you for your patience and your grace. Thank you for joining us. We love doing this, and we will see you next time.